I want to start off with 2 Timothy 2, verse 4. Verse 1 to 4, I should say. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be ready and out of season, convince, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. God wants us to hear his word and his word only. But if we just listen to something that we want to hear, but not something that we need to do something with, then we're going to get into error. I had somebody give me a book recently. It's nobody here, so don't look around. That actually they were going to take a wrong step, and this book was supposed to prove that what they did was right. So I couldn't believe it. So I read the book from cover to cover, and I could not find anything in there at all that would confirm to this person that what they did was the right thing to do. So we need to be careful how we hear, how we listen with our voice, so that we don't just hear what we want to hear, but don't hear what God is speaking to us. I've always been a talker, so I've never had to learn to talk. I mean, I can talk. If nobody says anything, you know how hard it was for me to stand up here and let everybody be quiet? I want to fill the air with words, and, you know, I can't. So I've had to learn to listen, to listen. You know, a lot of people don't listen. They hear one thing. I've had people sit and listen to a message, and they hear one thing that they don't quite agree with, maybe one sentence that is not exactly what they want to hear. And you know what? They don't hear anything else. They just hear that one sentence, and we lose them for the rest of the service. So hearing is so important to us. If you know a person intimately, you have no problem recognizing their voice. I mean, a lot of you never have to identify yourself when you phone me, because I recognize your voice, because I'm in relationship with you. Now, the person's closest to us, I could be in a room with 1,000 people and they cough or they say a word, and I would pick up their voice clearer than any other voice in that particular room. Now, that shows us that if we're in relationship with the Lord, and God speaks to us, he speaks to us when we read his word. There's something that'll pop out. He'll speak to us through music, the songs we sing. If you really listen when you're singing to what you're singing, you will have something to hold on to for the rest of the week. You know, it's a message besides the preaching. You can even hear God's voice sometimes in other people. Amy doesn't know that, but last week or the week before, she made a statement, and God dealt with me about that statement she made, and I received a healing because of it. You see, he can use someone else to speak to you. I've even had people that were not Christians at all talk, and I will hear something that God is speaking to me about. So we need to constantly have our ear in tune to hear what God is saying to us. We always need to make sure that what we hear lines up with the Word of God. That's why we cannot forsake the Word of God. We need to always, this is our the test where everything comes out. Does this line up with the Word of God, or is it something that contradicts what the Word of God says? So we need to look at that. Now, John 10, verse 2 to 5 says, but he who enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The doorkeeper opens to him, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And they will not follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. So hearing this voice is based on the strength of our relationship with him. Now consider the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. That they would hear the shepherd's voice was a matter of life and death for them. It was the way they were provided for. It was the way to keep them safe. They depended on hearing the voice of the shepherd. There was a very close, intimate relationship between the sheep and the shepherd. And as long as the sheep listened to the shepherd and stayed within the flock, they were safe. But if they got outside in rebellion, then they were in a very dangerous position. Mark 4 talks about hearing. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'm going to start with verse 13. And he explains the parable of the seed and the sower. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their heart. So that's people that hear, but they don't receive. It just goes, pew! Have you ever had it? You know, when people talk to me about real analytical stuff, you know what happens to me? I go, pew! Pew! It just flies right over my head. But people are like that with the Word of God. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. So there's no depth to their relationship. They come to church. They maybe have accepted the Lord as their Savior, but have never made him Lord of their life. Lord is when we start listening to his direction for our life and start doing what he tells us to do, even when it's difficult. And then now, these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So we can have a person that's going along, their Christian life is intact, but then the storms of life hit. And you know, all of us will have the storms of life hit us at one time or another. And for each one of us, the storms will be different. But that is the time when we need to dig deep into the soil and stand and not be moved by our circumstances or the, you know, I've seen people get rich, and rich doesn't mean you're not Christian. I mean, praise God when you are rich, you know. But the thing is, it should not draw you away from God. You know, I've made it on my own. None of us can do anything on our own. We need the presence and power of God. And then it says, but these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word. Now, listen, there's a difference. Accept it and bear fruit. In other words, they become a doer of the word of God. When God speaks to them, they start doing what the word of God says. And then they'll bring forth some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And he said to them, is a lamb brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything be kept secret, but that it should come to the light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Then he said to them, and this is the scripture I want to zero in on, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Now, you know, in our democratic society, that's not a very good verse. But it's talking about hearing. If you value the word of God you hear, you will do something with it. You will start acting on it. You will start walking in it. And the stronger you become in walking in it, your faith will build and you'll become stronger as a Christian. And you will develop to bring fruit forth in your life. But it's the value you place on the word. There was a lady, I mean, Lorraine reminded me of it a few weeks ago, of a lady she knew that was struggling with her. Her daughter had a very serious sickness. Was it autistic or was worse? Was something that was very, very bad. And she was also sick. And she wanted prayer for her daughter. But we shared the message of healing with her as well. And I remember one conversation that I had while I was teaching her the word, and it's the scripture in 3 John that says, beloved, I wish above all things that you be in health, even as your soul prospers. And what she came up with, she says, oh, well, she says, I think that's just, he started the letter and he said, you know, I hope you're all well. Like you would open a letter. So that's the value she put on that verse. And very shortly after that, she actually died. Now, you know, it is a matter of life and death that we hear what God's word says. And we don't, we value it and we put value on it, because the value we put on the word we hear is what is measured back to us. And if we don't do that, even that little bit that we've got will be taken away. We don't want that. And how does that happen? Because you reject the word, your heart hardens for the word. I've had times that I know God has spoken to me. And there's also times that I know that I thought God was speaking to me, but it caused kind of condemnation, guilt, you know, and then immediately I would hear God's voice. And, you know, when I talk about hearing God's voice, it's like a thought that comes in your heart, you know. And the two were so contrary that I knew the voice of God. But I know sometimes that I know, and there's times that I'm not totally certain that I've really heard from God. But then when I start moving in that direction and following it, I find out whether it's really God or just my own good idea or just another voice that I heard that has nothing to do with it. So we need to learn to differentiate between the voices that are around us, because we need to know the voice of the shepherd. And God will correct us, but he'll never condemn us. And with correction, he always makes a way that we can get out of the mess that we're in. So, you know, when there is no hope, if a thought comes to you that kind of just about takes the air right out of you, then you know it's not God. When there is a way out, God will give you a way out. You still have to obey then, but then it's God speaking to you. Okay. The hearing Jesus wants from us is not the kind we use when we listen to background music or when someone starts to recount a long story we've already heard. You know, and you kind of listen, but you don't listen because, well, you've already heard it, right? To truly hear Jesus' word is to believe them, to use them immediately in decisions and attitudes, and to base your life on them. Your recreation and work, your family plans, your money matters, praying and singing. To hear Jesus' words is to make Jesus your true Lord. What is Jesus saying to you right now? There's four kinds of soils, and there's different ways to respond to God's message. Usually we think that Jesus was talking about four different kinds of people, but he may also have been talking about different times or phases in a person's life, or how we willingly applied God's message to some areas of our life but resist applying them to others. I mean, you may be really good in tithing but very poor in handling your finances. So you may be hearing God's word on the fact that you need to tithe, but you're unwise with your spending, so you get in trouble. So you may be in good soil with your tithing, but in bad soil with your spending habits or hearing God with that. Or you may be very strong in worship, but yet have problems in other areas of your life. So you could be in good soil with worship, and yet in another area be kind of weak. So there are different ways that we can develop the soil. Worries of this life, attractions of the world, the lure of wealth, and the desire for things plagued first century disciples, just as they do us today. How easy it is for our daily routines to become overcrowded. A life packed with materialistic pursuits crowds out God's word and leaves us unfruitful for him. Stay free so you can hear what God speaks. You know, if I think back of the days when I was a young mother, life was busy, but it was simple. There were certain things that we just were not able to do or couldn't afford to do, so you made do with what it was, and probably you lived a simpler life than what we do today. So it's different, but we need to make, the word of God is always true, and if we pack our lives with so many activities, so many things, that it's at the cost of the word of God or fellowshipping with the saints or doing things like that, then we're a little bit out of balance. We need to make sure we get into balance and do what God wants us to do. It takes relationship and fellowship with God to hear his voice. Our theme this month has been just do it. Just do it. You know, hear it and do it. I'm going back to the scripture I used last time. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested to destroy the works of the enemy. And that's John 3, verse 8. For this purpose, God was manifested, Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the evil one. There's all kinds of works around us from the evil one. There's works in people that we meet every day in our lives that are suffering from the works of the evil one. There's people here in this church that are suffering from the works of the evil one. We, each one of us, is a minister of the new covenant. We have God's word inside of us. And we are to let that word shine, or to let that light shine, so that those around us, even in this fellowship, and when we leave this place, we can shine the light on their darkness. Jesus said, in the song it said, he wraps himself in light and darkness tries to hide. Does darkness try to hide when you enter in a place? Or does it come blatantly against you? You can be that light that shines so brightly that darkness has to flee when you come into a place. But how does it come? By listening and obeying the word of God. We need to be the light of the world. We're not supposed to hide light or cover it by looking just like the world. But we have been called to disperse the darkness wherever we find ourselves. Now, we have whole sects of people that look so holy on the outside and yet aren't. You know, they look like the frigid frozen. They look like they've been sucking on lemon juice, and that's supposed to be holy. It's not. They look drab in their dress because, after all, we're supposed to separate from the world. Then we have another side that have gone so extreme that you can't see the difference between them and the world. So where is it? God said, let your moderation be known to all men. So be moderate. Don't go overboard one way or overboard the other. Just be who you are. Let your moderation. But it's your lifestyle more than what you appear on the outside. Your lifestyle, your heart, your care, your compassion, the love of Jesus flowing through you. Many Christians today are hidden from sight, reluctant to be identified as Christians. Such a Christian is like a brand new light that never leaves the carton it came in. Have you ever gotten a light? I've got a few lights downstairs I'm not using. They're just sitting there and they're not shining. They're being useless, you know. But if we take a light out of the carton and we plug it in and let that light shine, how do we plug it in? Plug it into Jesus. And let that light shine. We've got the message, church. We've got the message of deliverance. We've got the message of salvation. We have the message of healing. We have the message that with God we can overcome anything that we face today. Anything. Anything at all. God wants to be there for us. He will walk us through the situation. It doesn't necessarily, I mean, I've been in situations, I say, Lord, I want to be figured right out of here, or whatever, translated, right out of here. I want to get out of this place right now. Please, right now, just take me up and put me somewhere else. I don't want to be here right now. But you know, he doesn't do that. He takes our hand and walks us through the very situation that has defeated us and gives us wisdom to walk through it and the power and the anointing to walk through it. You know what? I just picked up the scripture in the Old Testament, but they used to anoint the priests, their ears. Why was that? So that they would be able to hear God's voice. Our ears are anointed. We have anointed ears. And if you want to do yourself a favor, you take the scripture out of Ephesians 1, starting at verse 17, and pray that over yourself, It says, that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. Start praying for yourself that you will be able to hear that word, that the power of the word will resound in your heart, and that you will have the ability or the tenacity to follow after it. If a lamp doesn't help people see, it isn't worth much. Does your life show other people how to find God and how to live for Him? If not, ask what baskets have hidden your light. Has complacency, resentment? Oh man, resentment is a big one. When we have resentment, we hide the light really quick. Because, you know, when we have resentment, if we leave it at all, it has a root in our heart. And sooner or later, it starts flowing out of our mouth. And we will speak it. Embarrassment. Sometimes we're embarrassed to let people know we're Christians. Sometimes we're extremely stubborn. Sheep are stubborn, you know. And disobedience has a tremendous effect. You know, I know it better. I know it. Don't tell me anything. All that could keep you from shining. What do you need to do to let your light shine? We have to do it, you know. Just do it. Let your light shine. Mark 4:24, I'm going back to it. And he said, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from you, from him. The Living Bible says it this way, to those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. So people will reject the word of God or disobey. God will say something to them, but they don't really, you know what, God, I'm real good in this area, so I'm just put that on hold for a while. And they disobey. What happens when we do that? God will not speak to us. After a while, we won't hear his voice. Because we harden our hearts. And what little we have will be taken away. So we need to make sure that we listen when God speaks to us. And do it. Follow through it. And do it. Those who listen casually for whatever reason will miss the point. And I don't want to be there. Now, I was thinking about that. As parents, when we speak to our kids, little, big ones, whatever age they are, and you know what you say to them is for the good, but it's like, yeah, Mom. Yeah. And you know they're not hearing. How does that make you feel? Frustrated. You know, now God doesn't get that way with us, but I get that way. I would get frustrated. I would get angry. I would like to take them by their ears and tell them what's right for them or... But God gives us a free choice. He gives us his own will, our own will, that we can decide if we're going to listen to him or not. He will let us make our own choices. But just imagine, you know, I've really been thinking about that this week. The many times that God speaks to us and we don't listen to him. How God must feel. Because I know what it does to me. So we need to obey immediately when God speaks to us. Turn to James 1. And it's 19 to 20. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Ooh. I thought my wrath sometimes accomplished something. I guess I'm on the wrong page again. It's the wrath of men does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. You know, we can sit in services and hear the word of God. And sometimes, you know, and maybe we don't see it as much now, but we used to see people travel from point A to point B because they just needed one more exciting message. You know, it was almost like a high they needed on a message. But you see, unless we apply the message we hear to our life, that message will not do us any good. So we need to make sure that we deceive ourselves. Oh, we can be very spiritual. We can say all the right things, have all the right phrases, and condemn everybody else because they're not doing what you're doing, because you're not running around all over the place. But are you receiving? And not everybody that runs all over the place doesn't do the word. I'm just using it as an example, so please don't ever get mad at me. But we need to be able to take the word of God and meditate on it and do it. You know, for anybody who isn't doing any, Thursday morning we have a little Bible study here at 9 o'clock in the morning. We just started that, where we discuss what the message meant to us the Sunday before and what the Lord is showing us in the Word of God. So if you're ever available on Thursday morning, come on out and join us. We had a great time last Thursday. It's this week, it's Tuesday. I stand to be corrected. Okay, it's Tuesday. So, I want to go through some scriptures where it talks us to do it. And he answered and said in Luke 8, verse 21, and he answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. You know, hearing the word of God is the milk of the word. Doing it is the meat of the word. You know, because in one translation with that verse, it says, my meat is to do the will of my Father. And then he goes on to see those that are my brothers and my sisters and my mother are those that hear and do the word of God. So doing the word of God is the meat of the word. John 2, verse 5, his mother said to the servants, whatever he says, talks about Jesus, whatever he says to you, do it. Philippians 2, verse 13 said, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Colossians 3, verse 23, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. And Philippians 4, verse 9, the things which you have also learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And then it's interesting, then he says, and the God of peace shall be with you. Ooh, who doesn't want the God of peace with us? You know, I want the God of peace with me wherever I go. It says, if I've learned and received and heard and saw, these do. The God of peace will be with me. Ooh, that's good. I like the God of peace to be with me. Are you listening to things that will encourage your faith? You know, we live in a society where everything is at the flip of a finger. We can hear every bad thing that's going on from here around the whole world. And we can fill our heads with that constantly. And you know, the bad things, because you know what? They don't report the good news that's happening. They only report the bad news that's happening. That's the only thing that's news. So if that's all you listen to, it doesn't do anything to encourage your faith. Be balanced. If all you listen to is sports, movies, news, and the latest bit of gossip, can't expect the Word of God to be powerful in your life. You need to meditate and think on the Word of God. Hebrews 3, verse 7 says, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your heart." I'm going to stay on there for a minute. Today, right now. If you haven't listened before, if you've missed it in some areas, today, right now, if you will hear His voice. If God's been speaking to you about something that you need to do, if you have heard a whisper of His voice, He says, don't harden your heart. How do you harden your heart? By not listening. Today, right now, if you will hear His voice, don't harden your heart. That's how you start walking in peace. Revelation 3, verse 22 says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says." Not what man says, but what the Spirit says to you. What is the Spirit speaking to you today? While I'm speaking here, what is He touching your heart? What thoughts have been going around in your head? What things can you change in your life? What is the Spirit saying to you today? Today, right now, is the day. Don't harden your heart. Do you know that in Revelations, it says 8 times this particular phrase, "He who has an ear, let him hear. He who has an ear, let him hear." How many of you have ears? Well, you know, stop listening with just